Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 110, the Another Link in the Chain episode. Yep, finished my Irish chain top. Yep, got the fabric, had all sorts of adventures. Not really, it's not that exciting, but I'll talk about them in the quilt diaries. Just happy to have a finished top. That's a really nice feeling. You know, I'm going away tomorrow. I'm going to Nashville for Friday, Saturday, home on Sunday, and it'll be great. I'm going to sit on a panel and talk about being a writer and not a teacher for a living. Talking to a group of MFA and creative writing students at Vanderbilt, they all imagine for themselves right now what I imagined when I was in a MFA program in creative writing at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and you look at your fabulous professors with their fabulous houses, not necessarily fancy houses, but just cool and artsy, fartsy, and funky, and they're published writers, and it's all just too awesome, and that's where you assume you will be in just a matter of years. And then you get your MFA, and you go out in the real world, and you're like, one of the problems is you're fabulous professors are not retiring from their fabulous jobs, and so there's not really a job for you except in the world of freshman comp. And I did that, and I liked it, but at some point you have to decide, I had to decide, was I going to be a writer or a teacher? And I love teaching, and I think I'm a pretty good teacher. I get a lot of good feedback when I work with kids and do teaching, or teach, as they say. But as an introvert, takes a lot out of me and doesn't leave anything left over for the writing, which is my favorite thing to do. Anyway, so I will tell this story to these students along with my friend Amy, who is the editor of the Boston Women's Review of Books, also has an MFA, and doesn't teach. And then Martin, who is a publishing, he works in publishing. He works at one of the big houses and is a publicist and also a young adult author. And I knew Amy from grad school, and she's fabulous, and met Martin a couple years ago. Super nice guy. So it will be very fun mostly be fun. My friend Kate is the head of the MFA department. My friend Nancy teaches in it. So it's really just a big fun party. And a few hours spent telling students there are ways of making a living with an MFA that don't involve teaching and having the fabulous, funky professor house. But they all want the fabulous, funky professor house, and I don't blame them. They won't want to hear what I have to say. It was interesting. I mean, that's not true, and these students are always really nice. This is the third time I've done this. Kate gets us all together every couple years, and they're nice, and they're fun. But I think a lot of them really, you know, they've been in the university for a long time, and I understand where they are. Anyway, it'll be good. I am fighting off a cold, which I don't think I'm going to get because I'm taking my cold ease. Sorry, Noni, but I am. And it's been, I mean, it's just been since Sunday, since we last spoke, although I guess I may have finished up recording last week before Sunday. But, you know, and everything is fine. The weather is just funky, as it probably is at your house, too. And the gloomy days have been gloomy. And one of the nice things about going to this panel at Vanderbilt is I will get paid for it. And I think I'm going to use a little bit of the money to get a sad light, a seasonal affective disorder light. Because I really feel like on the days where it's really gloomy, especially if it's like a couple days in a row, I get very gloomy. And, you know, I think, oh, I'm depressed. Oh, you know, and I have a little mild depression thing going on from time to time. I don't think it's serious enough where I need medication. But every once in a while, you know, I think, oh, you know, this is a really serious problem. And then the sun comes out and I'm like a 5-year-old going, oh, I'm happy, 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 happy. So I think it's really related to the weather. I'm such a simple, simple creature. Anyway, so I think I'm going to do that. I'll let you know. I'll report back and let you know how that goes. I have to tell you, I'm very excited. So I'm going to speak, and this is the first of several public speaking engagements I have, and I have stopped lisping so much with my braces. Now, I'm sitting here drinking tea, and so I have to remember when I speak on Saturday not to drink anything, because drinking and talking does, for me, produce the effect of, like, just generating large quantities of saliva. So I'm going like, excuse me, but You know, and that's not pretty, as you've just discovered for yourself. But I'm not lisping. So there's been a sudden adjustment in how my teeth are doing. My teeth are changing. You know, this is very strange for me. So here I am. I'll turn 49 in May. First of all, to discover, if you have listened to the last few episodes, you know I've learned that in terms of colors, I am a summer and not a winter or a spring, which is what my mom and I always thought, that I was one or the other. But no, I'm a summer. And it seems like such an interesting thing to learn about oneself. I won't say so late in life. 49 is not actually all that late in life. But, you know, you go along for so long kind of thinking I'm a spring or winter, more winter. I think I always kind of thought I was a winter, you know, and going to wear some jewel tones or whatever, wear a lot of black. And I like wearing black. But now I'm summer. And I'm like, I'm a whole different person. And it makes sense. There's some shirts that I have that I like that are actually brown. I mean, one, they're prints. And one has like very light browns and some teal. And I really like it. And I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't wear this. It's probably too drab for me. Well, it turns out drab is my bag. And the other one is just a brown and white print that I love. The very tiny print, and I've just always really liked it. And turns out, because it's my color. It's me. Particular kind of brown, you know, just a very, very light, soft, soft brown. Who knew? The other thing, of course, now is my teeth, and they are shifting around. I mean, that's the thing. I don't look and go, oh, wow, my teeth are all straight. I mean, I haven't even had these things in my mouth for 2 months, but they do shift, and I think they're right now shifting. I have one tooth. You've got your two front teeth, and the next teeth are what? They're not your canines, whatever they are. Okay. I don't know. You know, when the boys were little and other moms knew how many teeth their babies were supposed to have when babies started having teeth and what they were, I was like, I have no idea how many teeth my child is supposed to have when he starts sprouting them. I'm really just bad. And you would think with all the time I have spent in a dentist chair, I should know more. But anyway, whatever those, the eye teeth, are they my eye teeth? But one is overlapped a little bit, mildly, over one of my front teeth. And I think that it's starting to shift a little bit. I think on the other side of my front teeth, a space is appearing. And I think that's kind of the idea, is we're creating space for other, for things to move around. It's odd to know in 15, 16 months I'll have different teeth. Now, the dentist said, you know, it's not, like I have an overbite, and I'm going to always have an overbite of some sort. It's not a really pronounced overbite, but it's like, you know, we're not going to take out teeth. We're not going to be pulling teeth here. It's just, and I was like, I think overbites are cute. My sister-in-law, Jessica, has an overbite. It's darling. So I'm not too worried about that. Anyway, but it's just odd. When you get to this point where you think the only changes you're really going to see are just more things starting to sag and hair going grayer, should I ever choose to stop coloring my hair, which will be as soon as the man starts to look in his age, which could be really a long time because he has really light hair and a baby face. So I could be really coloring my hair for the next 20 years. Anyway, it is funny to know there's still surprises and changes of a happy, positive sort. So, and of course, I'm getting wiser every day. So that's nice too. Okay, let's talk about all the people who are so kind to comment. Actually, not a ton of comments, but it's Thursday. The last episode has only been up a few days. And also, I find if when I get off schedule, I get fewer comments because people are like, I don't know. They're just like, where are you? I don't know. Okay, I've given up. So don't give up on me. But Terry never gives up. Thank you, Terry. And she said very nice things about my mom's quilt, or she put it, my mom's quilt. If you haven't looked at episode 109 over at the WordPress site, the pictures, I do include pictures of the beautiful quilt my mom made. I think I mentioned last week she is very into paper piecing right now. And may get me into it because the stuff she's doing is so beautiful. Got a comment from Jackie, also interested in doing the Irish chain, which, you know, Irish chains, it's very easy, but they look really cool. I would recommend it. Her from Noni, who last I checked on Facebook had the flu. Noni, I hope you are feeling better. And here's something Oh, Noni, I wish I'd known this. She said, maybe ask them what pleasures to see their Kona color card to match fabrics. If you listened to last week's episode, you know that I'm having some problems matching reds. I'll talk about that in the Quilt Diaries. And, you know, I didn't know there was a color card. Wouldn't that have been a brilliant suggestion? Now I know that will be very helpful in the future. Noni, thank you for cluing me into that. And then Sherry D. commented and said, you think red was hard to get right? Do you know that there are several shades of white? And yes, Sherry D., I do. I have been through that too. But now we know. Color card. Check the color card. But yeah, that's white can really throw you off because you kind of go in thinking, oh, I need some more white and that should be easy. And it's not. Heard from Claire, and Claire wanted to know, I mentioned that I've been knitting all these hats, and she wanted to know about the patterns. Claire, if you are on Ravelry, this was a free Ravelry pattern. It's called a Strib Hat, S-T-R-I-B, by Kelly R. Williams. It's free, but copyrighted. Can't sell the pattern. I guess you can't even sell the hats. That's okay. I'm not selling them. But you said you were looking for a more interesting pattern. I have made some for my guys, but I'd like a more interesting pattern that they would like. I mean, this is a very simple pattern. But, you know, it actually is a bit interesting because there's some variation. You do like an inch of a... Well, it's right here in front of me. I can tell you. Like, so you do, inch of 4x4 ribbing, then 2x2, and then you switch colors, and you do some more 2x2, and then you switch colors, and you do 1x1. So, I mean, it's not rocket science, but it's, I think, you know, even with simple patterns, it's really nice to change stuff. Have something like, oh, you know, after 5 more rows of this, I'm going to switch to 3x3 ribbing. Ooh, very exciting. That's about all the change I need. So go look again, Strib, S-T-R-I-B hat. A simple hat with simple style for men, women, or kids. So, and my friend Sarah liked the one I made her boy Gavin so much. She's like, would you make me one? I'm like, sure, just go to Joanne's, get the yarn, baby. I'll do it. And then I heard from Allison over at Within a Quarter Inch. Allison, so good to hear from you. And she said that she's been sending me lots of comments through her brainwaves. And has finally remembered to do it for real. And she adores red and white quilts. I love them so much, and I have all this red fabric now. I am doing more. And I love this. She said, I also would like you to know that when you say, have I already said this? I feel like I have already said this, so I won't say it again. Allison says, you mostly have not already said it, so please say it again. Thank you, Allison. I am so glad to get feedback on that, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, as I said, I'm almost 49, I forget stuff or whatever. I'm just going to repeat it. I'm going to assume you have the same memory problems that I do. Anyway, it was so great to hear from everyone. Thank you so much. Feel free to comment on this episode. You can come over to WordPress. Go look at my Irish chain. And that is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. That seems to be where everyone's leaving comments, so let's just go there. You can also email me, and I will sooner or later email you back. And that's F. Dowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com. I love to hear from you. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate your mental comments. I can feel them. I'm very attuned to the universe. So send those too. Send your good thoughts. If you listen to this like tonight, send really good thoughts for me not getting a cold. I'm fighting one off. I am. I'm fighting and I'm winning. Okay, let's get on with Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Wednesday, January 30th, a windy, cloudy, warm day. We're supposed to get some severe storms this afternoon, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be after at least the boys are home. I don't know about the man. For all I know, by the time the man heads out of Raleigh, the storms will have passed over. So I don't think he's going to come home early because as part of his job, he covers the state legislature and it opens its session today. So not one of those days where he can work from home this afternoon. Anyway, it is Wednesday. I am hoping to get this posted tomorrow, even though I didn't post my last episode until Sunday. I like being in my routine, so we'll give it a shot. First thing we just have to talk about is PBS Online. I know I've talked about it before because late last fall, I was watching Call the Midwife.
which I guess is in its second season. I've heard rumors thereof, but have not seen any evidence. But maybe it's in its second season in the UK and will be in its second season here. I really loved it and would love to see another season. In any event, it's very easy to access PBS online. All you have to do is register. And there are so many good shows. Right now, I'm watching the series called Craft in America. At least I think it's what it's called. But it's so good. And it looks like, there's a bunch of episodes. And the one I'm watching right now is about craft and community. And they start out with quilters. And I'm going to have to go back because I didn't see where this quilting group is. It's black and white women, and there is some talk about how this is an area that blacks and whites don't always integrate freely, mix freely, but that could be the South. It could also be New Jersey. I mean, there are a lot of places where people kind of keep to their own, but here in this particular group of quilters, they're saying quilting brought people together, as it does. Anyway, so it's wonderful. And it's wonderful to see. It's a quilting bee. Most of the quilters seem to be hand quilting and hand piecing. And in fact, there's a quilting bee where they're all quilting on the same quilt. Very neat. In this episode, so every episode has a number of different segments. And the second segment is on the Pinland School in North Carolina, which I may have talked about a long time ago. You know, we have this house in the mountains that we're actually trying to sell, but it is very close to the Pinland School, which is a arts and crafts school, essentially, that was established in the early part of the 20th century as a weaving school. The woman who started it was had come up to the mountains. Her brother was the headmaster of the Episcopal School, private school, boys' school, up in Mitchell County. And she came up to help him, and she, as she got to know people in the community, she realized that, first of all, the tradition of weaving was dying off. And secondly, people, you know, were economically not very well off, and so she thought, well, why not encourage women to weave, and we can set up a business where we can sell things off the mountain. And that's what she did, and managed, you know, there were weave, I don't know, I can't remember. I've read, there's a book about the Pinland School that I've read. And I can't remember how they initially got the weaving looms. But they did, and they were actually started by getting the looms to the women and men in their houses. And they, I guess, contracted with various people who needed placemats and the various things, coverlets and the various things that you weave. And then she got some land, I think it was given to her or bought for her by a rich benefactor, and built this school and with weaving rooms. And it sort of expanded, but it was quite utilitarian. Since then, it has become an art school. And if you ever, you know, go online and look at the catalog, if you're artsy-fartsy at all, it's like they do bookmaking and papermaking. And there's just a bunch of stuff that I think would be really fun to do, pottery and weaving. Anyway, so there's a segment on that, which is really neat because that's someplace I've never taken a class there, but I certainly have spent time on the campus. And campus seems an odd word. It's, you know, it's really, oh, it's bucolic. It's beautiful. Anyway, so that's neat. And the series is neat, and it makes you feel creative and inspired to watch it. And I've been watching it as I've been working on my mosaic blocks. Yesterday, I had a good afternoon of cutting out fabric, squares of blue and one batik. You know, this is a blue quilt with many shades, tones, hues of blue, but I'm throwing little bits of pink and purple to kind of brighten things up throughout. And so I did find a batik, which I can't remember what I used this for. It's very pretty. It's sort of pink and orangish. I don't know. Maybe I used some of this for the bento box quilt I made my mother-in-law last year. No idea where this fabric is from, but I'm going to throw that in. Some of it's experimental. I've done some of these blocks in alternate colors and then not really liked how they've looked. But it was good to get kind of back on that particular wagon, pony, what have you. I'm hoping that today my red fabric from Fat Quarter Shop will arrive. Again, I love Fat Quarter Shop. They get stuff out to you fast. And I'm hoping it will be the right red. I realize I really should have ordered some white because I have. So I have to do red borders. I already have the corner blocks done, which are just red and white blocks, like the blocks running through the middle. This is, of course, for my Irish chain quilt. So I have the blocks for that. So I with this order, if it's the right red, I will have enough fabric for the borders. But then I have to do one more white border. I'm kind of thinking, I don't know if I've got enough. I'm looking at what's left of my white fabric right across, draped across the chair, right across from me. If not, I guess I'll call Thimble Pleasures and see if they have it. And if not, I may just order more from the Fat Quarter Shop because I will get that faster than I will get anything from Thimble Pleasures. I'm going to Nashville Friday. I just went online because, you know, here's the thing. So I'm an okay flyer. I'm not particularly afraid of flying. I am afraid of getting sick while flying. I do get air sickness. I've flown to Nashville many times. And it's an easy flight. It only takes an hour and maybe a little longer, but it's really easy. And, you know, it's the kind of thing, if I have a Coke and I take my Dramamine and I've eaten, you know, I'm usually pretty good. But it's going to be windy. Now, I had a scene in an airport many years ago. I can't remember where I was flying. And it was so windy. And I was really frightened and scared and kind of tearful. And it was one of those things. It just felt like, you know, the universe was providing, because a pilot sat down next to me in the waiting area. And he was eating his lunch. And I kind of got weepy and said, I'm really scared. Because it was very, very windy. The winds like were 20 or 30 miles per hour. And he said the only thing to be scared about flying in is thunderstorms. He said, you know, and flights will be delayed and canceled if there are thunderstorms. You don't want to fly in lightning. He said, otherwise, he's like, wind is not a problem. So I always remembered that. So, of course, I look at the weather today to see what it's going to be on Friday. And it's going to be sunny and no precipitation, but it's going to be really windy. It's going to be 20 miles per hour. And I tried to, like, go, don't worry about it. Remember what that pilot said. But I Googled it anyway, like flying in windy conditions. And there was this great site I came on. It's like this air, you know, Captain Tom, this airline pilot. And people ask questions. And it's really, I think, part of a fear of flying program. And someone said, I'm flying tomorrow and it's going to be 20, the winds are going to be in the 20 to 30 miles per hour. And Captain Tom was like, what are you worried about? We love this stuff. That means that instead of needing to go 100 miles per hour to accelerate the plane, we just have to go 80 miles per hour. The wind helps. It's like, it might make your takeoff and landing a little bumpier. And, you know, and that if you're afraid of flying, that's going to trigger fear in you. And there are ways of dealing with that. But there's nothing actually to be afraid of. I just thought, thank you, Captain Tom. That made me feel much better to know not only was the wind not a problem, which I had been told, but the wind is our friend when flying. Anyway, I don't know quite how I got there, but my hope is that my red fabric will arrive today and that I will have enough white fabric, which I might, to finish up the top for my Irish chain so I can start quilting it, which would be really, really exciting. Because then I can start using my Craftsy class. And Noni, I am going to find out what the title of that class is and tell you. I'll be more familiar with it when I actually start using it. I was looking over on Craftsy today. There's another class I want to take. It's sort of like Art Quilt 101, basic art quilt class. Because, you know, watching, of course, I'm so suggestible. Watching this Craft in America PBS show. PBS Online, I'm telling you, it rocks. Also watch this great miniseries on abolitionists and all this stuff. It's really good. And if you get behind on Downton Abbey, which, you know, it's not so good this season, but I still watch. If you get behind, they have full episodes up. But watching Craft in America, I'm like, oh, I want to make art. You know, I have to remind myself, I also want to make quilts for our lower school director and perhaps Mrs. Crawford, the administrative assistant. So I need to keep the eyes on that prize because that's two quilts by the end of May, which is very doable. These aren't going to be huge quilts, but you know, you can fool around and suddenly it can be mid-April. You're like, "Ooh, I got to do 2 quilts in 6 weeks." So, once I finish with the Irish chain, then I've got to find patterns. I'm just going to do patterns. But I do want to think about art quilting. And so that in this class, this Art Quilt 101, is like $19.99. So I should go ahead and buy it, except I'm trying not to spend money. Ugh. But that's where I am right now. And gosh, this could be a really short episode, but I'm kind of hoping that that this fabric's going to get here. I'm going to get these borders on, and so then I can, you know, talk to you about the whole process of that, and take a picture, and then go on to Nashville and have fun and frolic, and you know, not die in the plane. You have to believe me when I say I'm not afraid of flying. What I am afraid of is throwing up in the plane, which I did last time I flew. Oh, that was because I ate homemade sausage, I think, before I flew. Remind me not to do that ever again. I was at a restaurant in Chicago, and the breakfast was great, but they did their own sausage in the restaurant, and it's probably perfectly fine, but it wasn't fun flying. Anyway, enough about that. Oh, I want to tell you about a book I'm reading. And I'm going to go get the information so I don't just sit here going, well, it's a good book. I can't remember the title or the author, which is my way. Okay, it's called The Light Between Oceans. It is by M.L. Stedman, a first-time novelist. And I'm about halfway through. It's very good. It's about a lighthouse keeper and his wife. They're Australian. They live on an island, Janus Island, where Tom, the husband, is the lighthouse keeper. Isabel, his wife, who's young and wonderful and charming, but has had 2 miscarriages. And one day, a rowboat floats up to their island, and inside is a man who's dead and a baby who's alive. And it's an infant. And Isabel convinces Tom that instead of reporting this, that they should keep the baby for their own. And her thing is, there's a woman's sweater in the boat. So she thinks that the woman probably fell overboard, doesn't know how the man died. And so the baby's an orphan. And she convinces Tom. She's like, if we send this baby back, if we report the baby, she's just going to be put in an orphanage and live a terrible life. But we can keep her, and no one has to know, and she'll have a wonderful life with us. Tom has a lot of misgivings. He's an upright kind of guy, not without humor, very gentle, very compassionate, but this goes against his grain. And that's all I will tell you, things happen. And it's good. It wasn't, and I have to say, I liked it from the very beginning. My editor gave me this for Christmas, and I liked it from the start. And I think I got into it right away, but where I am now, which again is about halfway through, it's really like becoming almost a page turner. So I was reading very happily up until this point, but I wasn't feeling like, oh, I have to get back to the book. And now I'm at this place where I'm like, oh, I have to get back to the book. So, The Light Between Oceans by M.L. Stedman. It's very good. So I just thought I would mention that. All right, maybe I will be back tomorrow with more stuff to tell you. I will be, one way or the other. So we will end this quilt diary and say more soon. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Thursday, January 31st. I'm kind of taking a day off, and this is because I feel like I may be coming down with a cold, so I'm just total chilling. Well, actually, I'm quilting. I'm playing pretend here. I'm playing like I'm a person who has my own quilt studio, which I kind of do. It's the dining room, but who's counting? But it's like 11 in the morning, and I'm finishing up the Irish chain. I wanted to tell you the fabric came yesterday from Fat Quarter Shop. They're a typical fast job. And one of the fabrics is the correct red. Yay! But the funny thing is neither of the reds, I ordered like, it was one is a Chinese red and the other is bright red or something. But neither of them have selvages, so I don't know which is which. I think that the right red was a Chinese red. That is my thought on this. There's something, I think it was a Chinese red as being a very dark red, and that is what this is. So in any event, the good news is I have enough fabric to finish up the quilt top, and I have plenty of fabric to make a funky, fun back. I went on to Craftsy to claim my class that my mom had bought me, and the class that I am signed up for is not the one that we had discussed. So I don't know if, I mean, we sat here and ordered the class together, and I don't know if there was a glitch in the ordering, if we pressed the wrong button and the wrong thing got in the cart, or if just something got messed up. But I just emailed my mom and said, could you check into this? The problem is the class we got, which is basically beyond, it's, I think the teacher, Noni keeps asking, I think it's Ann Peters, something like that. And it's kind of like beyond basic machine quilting. The class that is in my cart is quilting the big quilt on a small machine. And although that would be handy, and if they don't let us trade out, I'm sure I will learn something, but it's not the class I wanted. The issue, as I was saying, is that we did get the first class on sale, and now it's not on sale, so I don't know if they're going to let us switch out or not. I'm also really looking seriously at the Art Quilt 101 course, because it is on sale. It's $19.99. I assume that's the sale price. It doesn't say on sale, but that seems to be their sale price. And although I'm trying not to spend much money, I may go ahead and get that with the idea that if the price gets jacked up to $39.99, I will be sorry. I didn't get it now. And because I do want to play around with that. And I looked at student work that is posted on the site, and I liked it, or at least I liked what a lot of people were doing. I knew that it was like, yes, that's the kind of stuff I want to play around with. So I need to resolve the first issue with the class, with, you know, that my mom gave me, and then, because anyway, it's a long story, but then I do think I'll get that. Anyway, it is finally, oops, sorry about that, it is a nice day, windy, about 50 degrees, which is good. Tomorrow's going to get cold. Tomorrow I am going to Nashville, as I've said. So I am really hoping that today, as I play pretend quilt studio, that I will really, well, I know, I'm about to finish up this top right now. And then the question is, how long will it take me to piece it back? I really feel like I've got, between all my scraps from the front and the various red fabrics I have purchased, I really think I can piece a back from what I have, which would be great. And then hopefully I'll get the class, the Craftsy class that I actually want, and can do some interesting machine quilting on this. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that works out. So that's my news right now. I may be back in a little bit and tell you some more, especially if I finish up the top. I may come back and say, yay, it is my hope to get this posted today and get back on my Thursday schedule. So that is it for now, and more soon, one way or the other. Okay, now it's later. By the way, at the end of sections, you will hear the click. There's something right now that's going on where I'm having a hard time editing little bits of space, like just getting the cursor over little click spots and creating an erasure kind of mark and hitting delete. For some reason, it won't do it over small spots. That probably made no sense whatsoever. But anyway, so I apologize for the clicks. I usually try to edit those out. Well, I did finish the quilt top. Yay. It looks very nice. It is one of those that, you know, you might want to ride past on horseback. Just for the corner blocks, with the blocks themselves are fine. Nothing complicated about the blocks. Are they perfectly aligned? No. But are we all about perfection? No, we're not. That's not our gig. That's not our thing. So anyway, so it looks really neat. There's a picture on the WordPress blog. So take a look. Tell me what you think. You know, it's actually draped across the chair across from me right now, where it's going to stay for a while till I get the back pieced. And, you know, the thing is, first of all, you know, it's a very simple, simple quilt. It didn't take anything at all to do. But it's the kind of quilt that before I started making quilts, I would have just been like at a loss, you know, to look at it and think, how do you do that? You know, and now one of the fun things for me looking at other people's quilts or looking at quilt patterns is visualizing how the patterns were put together, how the blocks were put together. And, you know, but before I started quilting, I didn't know anything about, say, half square triangles or about the optical effects you create just by having a nine patch that matched with a white square, then another nine patch. It creates optical effects that are neat. And you wouldn't, if you don't have a discerning or a mathematical eye, you don't see how the effects are created. Of course, now I do. So that's kind of cool. So that's about it. I am fighting off this cold. I've taken cold ease all day. Noni would be mad at me because I think I talked about that a year or so ago. And she emailed and said, bad things can happen with cold ease. And apparently bad things have happened to some people with cold ease, but so far it's working for me. So I don't think I'm going to get this cold, which would be good, because who wants to go out of town with a cold and inflict that cold on other people and have to do public speaking with a cold? I don't want to do that. So fingers crossed, the cold ease. I've got some echinacea tea in front of me, which is really horrible tasting, but let's see. Hopefully that will help as well. All right, well, I'm going to finish up here. I might even get this posted tonight. If not, it's probably going to be Sunday again because my plane leaves at 1:55, which means I need to get to the airport by 12:45, and I never get anything done the morning before I travel. So anyway, I hope you have a good week. I hope you get a lot of quilting done. I'm excited to have a quilt top done in January. It's not a whole quilt. That's okay. I'm not going for 12 quilts. I'm not going for a quilt a month. But just the idea that the first month of the year, I finished the top, I like it, I'm happy, it feels like progress to me. So, there you have it. Go finish something of your own. Enjoy it. Post about it. Leave a comment. Say hey. Let me know what you're up to. And I'll talk to you next week.